Well, after the exalted strains of Johann Sebastian Bach, it's my job to bring us back to reality. I'll be home for Christmas. I was going to sing it to you, but decided to refrain. It was first sung by Bing Crosby in 1943 to honor the soldiers in the field who longed to be home with their families at Christmas. It's since become the almost irritating staple of the season. Like many of these songs, it's very sentimental. But sentimentality isn't always wrong. Sentimentality sometimes is just the way you're feeling in the mood of the moment. And it's the reality, isn't it, that the spirit of Christmas often lends itself to a sense of loneliness. Soldiers in the field, the single, the divorced, the widowed, the homeless, are often made to feel very isolated when all the talk and all the adverts is about family. Those of us who have families are actually wishing we didn't have all of the hype about families. But that's another story altogether. But the feeling of loneliness really is a theme, a recurring theme in literature as it is in music. Eleanor Rigby picking the rice from the church where the wedding had been, living a dream, or Father Mackenzie writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Where do we belong? The reality is that there is, in all of the literature, in all the races of all of the world, a sense of lack of roots, an unrootedness. A sense that somehow or other, wherever we are, however much we've achieved, however far we've gone, however much we feel we've arrived, there is this nagging sense that we haven't quite arrived there yet. Where does that come from? It seems to be endemic to the human race. The story that you find in the Bible is a story of humanity which loses its home in Eden. The home of a nation, specially blessed nation, that loses its home in Canaan, Israel. And it's not until the resolution comes, in a sense, in the book, where a visitor comes to this planet. And he himself finds himself unrooted. Light comes into a world and finds darkness. The king comes to find his kingdom in rebellion against him. The creator comes as a creature and finds murder on the minds of men. The rich one becomes poor and finds those who want to rob him even more. The lawgiver comes under the law to obey it as if he were no more than a servant. Instinctively, many of us feel that what Jesus is going through is just like us. We sing many songs at Christmas time. One of them asks a number of questions that begins with the question, what child is this? And the questions that song raises are the kinds of questions that people ask. Who is this child that we celebrate this Christmas time? A moral teacher? A prophet? A delusional man? A miraculous infant? A mere myth? Who is this child in Mary's arms? The song asks, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap? Is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds their watch are keeping. The song tells a story that is like no other story. It was an insurance salesman in Glasgow, Scotland, where I was born, a man called William Chatterton Dix, who was very successful in his business until he was stricken suddenly with a serious illness at the age of 29. As he lay in bed, suffering from deep depression for some time, these questions went over and over in his mind. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christians, fear, for sinners, hear. The silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. It's not strange to have a feeling of homesickness, because we're intended to long for another place and another home. It's part of the Christmas story that in the midst of the loneliness and emptiness often of our lives, the Christmas story tells us how the cry of a collective people, oh, that the mountains would tremble, oh, Lord, that you would look upon us, oh, Lord, that you would come down, is answered when the shepherds announce the good news that in David's town there is a baby born. Christ chose homelessness so that you and I could find a home that would last forever. In Christ, God drew near, choosing to be born vulnerable, needing the care of a mother to hold him and feed him, choosing to become a man who in his youth chose to be exploited, chose to be betrayed, chose the way of the cross. Christmas reminds us of the harsh reality of God becoming flesh and making a home among us that he might give us a home that transcends all worlds. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and take you to be with me where I am. G.K. Chesterton captures the wonder of this in a poem he wrote. A child in a foul stable where the beasts feed and foam. Only where he was homeless are you and I at home. We have hands that fashion and heads that know, but our hearts we lost how long ago. In a place no chart nor to an open house in the evening, home shall men come. To an older place than Eden, to a taller town than Rome. To the end of the way of the wandering star, to the things that cannot be and that are. To the place where God was homeless and all men are home. Jesus changed his address from heaven to earth, that we might have our address in heaven. John the Apostle writes at the end of the Bible, I saw no temple in the city. Its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Home at last.